I remember years ago, a close Christian friend told me one morning when I asked him how he was going, and he said he was going wonderful. We are one day closer to the Lord's return. Those words stuck into my mind. When we sang this song, just thinking that none above him, none before him, none beside him, all our times are in his hands. Because his throne will forever stand. It is a remarkable thought that our times are in his hands. And today matters. Our times are in his hands, and may the Lord give that this day counts for something. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you that we can be in your presence, that we can be gathered here today. Lord, it will all avail to nothing except if you speak to us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the passage that Jesse read for us, Philippians chapter 2 from verse 19 through to 30, there was a statement that the Apostle Paul made in verse 29b. And I just want to point that out to us, because he says there, honor such men. And the New American Standard, it puts it this way, hold men like this in high regard. Now, in this passage, the Apostle Paul is asking the church at Philippi to honor men like Epaphroditus, which he makes reference to in verses 25 through to 30, and Timothy, to which he makes reference in verses 19 to 24. He says, esteem men like them. Now, to esteem somebody or to honor someone is to consider them to be valuable, right? Or precious. And usually we would do something like that after making a proper evaluation of them or of a situation that we consider honorable. We certainly live in a world where people are often honored and given recognition. Take, for example, the way our Prime Minister would be referred to, the Honorable Prime Minister, or artists, or sports stars. Well, think about influential people, especially the philanthropic types. How people would honor them, give them a lot of public praise. I don't have to tell you about that. Filling magazine cover pages and being hosted on television shows, being the talk of town. They are made famous because people honor them and they highly esteem them. Now, just to note that we also recognize just as quickly as someone may rise to glory, they can also fall into shame. Today's hero will become tomorrow's zero quite quickly. But holding people in high regard is quite common in everyday life for us. We don't have to even go to the higher levels of society. Just think of how children who do well at school, how they get honored, or teams that win their games. Our society is wired like that. They receive their trophies and their medals and their sponsorships. Well, even think of funerals. People are hailed for how great they were. I just want to tell you this story. When I was at seminary, our pastoral theology lecturer told us this, that one day he was actually approached by somebody in the town where he was pastoring a church. And this person never went to church, but came and asked if he wouldn't mind to bury his brother. He was an unbeliever, the brother, so was he. And so the pastor said, well, okay, all right, I'll do it. And then he said, well, please do it on one condition. Please tell everybody that my brother was a saint. And he thought about it, and sure enough, he took the funeral. And at the funeral, he said, and as compared to his brother, he was a saint. But anyway, oftentimes, people are hailed with honor. We live in a world where famous, popular people are preferred, and they are greatly honored. And sometimes it's justifiable, and other times highly questionable. Today's text shows us that there is a place to honor fellow Christians. So we will consider the lives of two honorable Christians, and then we will draw some conclusions. Now, just to say, this requirement of the Apostle Paul to honor certain believers is not disconnected with what we have been learning in Paul's letter to the Philippians. So, in Philippians 1 verse 27, the Apostle Paul challenged us to live lives worthy of the gospel of Christ. Do you remember that? Both inside and outside the church. You might ask the question, are there any living, commendable examples of Christians other than the Apostle Paul, who seemed to have been this superhuman being, for a lack of a better description? Are there any other Christians whose love is abounding and they are filled with the fruits of righteousness? Are there any who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ or scared of those who oppose it? Are there any who in humility considers others as more important than themselves? Paul wanted to send Timothy to the church at Philippi soon, so that he might come back to the Apostle Paul to bring news of how they were going. We read about that in verse 19. And so he also wanted to send Epaphroditus to them to go and to encourage them. And also so that the Apostle Paul didn't need to be as worried about the church. Remember, the Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome for the cause of the gospel of Christ, facing the possibility of execution. His life was literally being poured out as a drink offering for the faith, for other believers, for the sake of the Lord. And he had a desire to see the Philippian Christians again. But there was the distinct possibility that he was going to face martyrdom. In fact, the Apostle Paul did die of martyrdom a couple of years later. But he couldn't help himself to think of these believers in the church there and their situation rather than his own personal situation. So, therefore, he decided to send Timothy and Epaphroditus to the church, two outstanding Christians. So the message this morning is, honor model Christians. I don't know if you have ever come across the idea of churches giving references for Christians or believers who may move from one church to the next. I don't know if you've ever come across that idea. It certainly happens in the business world all the time. So you apply for a job and they ask you, well, please give us some references of somebody who would be able to vouch for you. So, do you think it's a good thing if it happens in churches or between churches? Well, the Apostle Paul gave the Philippian church some character references. First, there was Timothy. Here are a few facts about Timothy. So, he came from a city called Lystra. He was the son of a mixed marriage. We read about that in Acts 16, verses 1 to 3. His mother, Eunice, was a Jew, but apparently his father was a Gentile, probably an unbeliever. through having his Christian mother, but also a Christian grandmother, Lois. They taught him the Bible from a young age, but it didn't make him a Christian. He became a Christian, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ later on in life. He was possibly converted through the Apostle Paul's own ministry. Paul refers to Timothy as his son in the faith in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. On Paul's second missionary journey, Paul visited Lystra again, and he heard that the men and the people of the churches spoke well of Timothy. And so the Apostle Paul invited him to become his travel companion, his assistant, on his second missionary journey. And Timothy became his assistant, helping the Apostle Paul. We are told that Timothy proved himself faithful in serving Paul. Paul refers to him in verse 20 as, "I have no one quite like him." So in what ways were Timothy exceptional? Well, firstly, he had a genuine interest in the people of God. Verse 20, Paul says that he is genuinely concerned for your welfare. That's what he writes to the Philippian church. He thought of the well-being of other Christians, other believers. Even though he wasn't a member of the church at Philippi, he was a member in the church in Lystra. Yet he was concerned for these believers. He was concerned for others besides his own. This is one way in which Timothy stood out. But here's another way in which he stood out. He was willing to put the interests of the Lord Jesus Christ above his own. Paul says in verse 21, "For all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus." So, which comes first in your life? Your own interests or the interest of Christ? The interest of your own home or the interest of God's house? Our leisure or the Lord's pleasure? Which one comes first? Well, Timothy stood out because he was willing to put the interests of Christ above his own. He was out and out for the Lord. That's actually the way the Lord Jesus teaches his followers in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He said to his disciples, "If you want to be my disciple," you probably know the verse, "you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me." Well, that is true Christian discipleship. And that is the way that Timothy lived. He lived with the concerns of Jesus Christ above his own. Well, there was another reason, a third reason, why Timothy was found to be exceptional. We read about that in verse 22. Because he has proven himself, the Apostle Paul says, as a servant of the gospel. Look at it. "But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father has served me in the gospel." Timothy is said to have been a servant of the gospel. The Apostle Paul is placing him alongside himself. In Philippians 1 and verse 1, he puts Timothy's name next to his own name as servants of Christ Jesus. When Paul first went to Philippi to establish the church in Acts chapter 16, he was there with him. And then the Apostle Paul went back in Acts chapter 20 verse 6, and Timothy was there still as Paul's assistant. It seems like Timothy did a lot of work behind the scenes, helping the Apostle Paul, doing a lot of the humble but the ordinary ministry type of work. but he did it faithfully. Paul was now able to send Timothy back to Philippi to help there because he had proven himself. Now, you might know that the Lord tells us that if we are faithful in little things, then we will also be faithful in much. That's what Jesus says. It's one of the rules of the gospel. Luke 16, verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Well, Timothy was faithful with little and honest with little. Now, I don't know what you think of your service for the Lord, whether you think it's much or very little. Maybe thinking, well, what I'm doing is not all that important. Maybe helping with the youth, or maybe on a service roster, or perhaps in the music ministry, or providing meals or practical help to God's people, maybe visiting or phoning those who are sick, or those who are in need of encouragement or support, those who are going through hard times, maybe praying for someone, and they may not even be aware of it. Well, let us be humble, faithful, and reliable in the work of the gospel, even if it seems to be very little and small. The apostle, Timothy helped the apostle Paul in the work of the gospel. Firstly, as we saw, he was exceptional in his care and his interest in God's people. Secondly, his willingness to put the interests of Christ first. Thirdly, he's proved himself as a servant and a fellow worker of the apostle Paul in the work of the gospel. Paul says, honor men like him. Honor people like him. Paul then moves on to give us a reference of another man, Epaphroditus, in verses 25 to 30. Now, imagine calling your son Epaphroditus. Well, maybe some will consider doing that after hearing about him. So what was so praiseworthy about Epaphroditus? Like the Apostle Paul and Timothy, Epaphroditus was a living example of somebody who lived a life worthy of the gospel. A person who consecrated his life in devotion to Christ. And it was evident in the way he served and the way he worked to spread the gospel. So Paul wanted to send Epaphroditus to the church at Philippi. And this is how he describes him in verses 25 and 30. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and my fellow worker, and fellow soldier, and your messenger, and minister to my need. And then verse 30. For he nearly died for his work for Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Now, we know very little about Epaphroditus. He was a Greek Christian, but apparently he was sent by the Philippian church to go and visit the Apostle Paul in prison and minister to him there. And Paul says, he cared for my needs. While he was there, he fell ill. In fact, he almost died, verse 30. Paul says he risked his own life in order that the Philippian church might serve the Apostle Paul well. His willingness in the work of Christ stands out. Further, while he was seriously ill, his thoughts were not so much with himself, but rather he was more concerned about the Philippian church. Look at verse 26. For he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed, because you heard I was ill. That's remarkable. Who of us, if we were to be critically ill, would be more concerned about others who are concerned for our illness? Well, that was Epaphroditus. His name only appears in Philippians. But I'm sure you will agree with me that his name leaves a lasting impression. Paul refers to this man as my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier, my brother. The grace of God made Epaphroditus part of God's family, just like the Apostle Paul. My brother, that's how he saw him. My fellow worker, he shared with the Apostle Paul in the load of the ministry, and he was willing to be loaded up to serve the Lord. My fellow worker. But then also my fellow soldier, the Apostle Paul calls him. He valued the gospel, and he was willing to defend Christ, the cause of Christ. The Apostle Paul highly thought of him. Side note, Epaphroditus, the name, is derived from the name Aphrodite, which means lovely. Well, clearly the Apostle Paul thought he was lovely. He loved this man, thought very highly of him, and he thought he would do a good job if he sent him back to the Philippian church to go and encourage them. Honor men like Timothy and Epaphroditus. Why? Well, shouldn't we just honor God and Christ and not value people? Well, some people remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who humbled himself to serve our needs. Not doing it out of selfish ambition, but for our good. Some people remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some Christians suffer in the cause of the gospel, and they are consistent examples of love and service, just like our Savior. Some Christians pour themselves out to serve the interests of Christ. As Alec Mottier puts it, the Lord is the Christian's model. But here is the thing. Some Christians are model Christians. Paul says, honor such people. Receive them with the joy of the Lord. Well, let us draw some points of application. There are a number of things I'd like to say about the passage. The first is this, that Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30 teaches us to love and honor other Christians, especially those who serve well, those who are living examples, those who remind us of Christ, those who are models of Christ. Paul says, honor Timothy and Epaphroditus, and he commends them to the church at Philippi. So I guess we should honor people like Jack Ratton, Nelson and Rosemary Mutsi. We should honor people like Paul and Philippa Preston, Godfrey and Glenda, and Pam and Margaret, and Frank and Raleen. These are not famous people. I'm sure you haven't even heard of them. But I'm sure there are people that you can think of that are honorable Christians who have served the Lord well, faithfully over many years. Paul says, honor people like them. Consider them valuable. They're a mark of grace. These people who are called, we are called to honor, have been able to raise valid objections. Timothy and Epaphroditus would have said, well, we're not sure if we are worthy of honor. Take Epaphroditus. He was a man with poor health. He struggled with his health. But he used his health as an opportunity in the cause of Christ. And what about Timothy? Well, Timothy was a young man. He could have said, well, maybe I need to become older first. But that didn't stop him to care for God's people. And he was also a timid man. A nervous man who could have said, well, I can't do much for the Lord. But he put the interest of Christ first. And he proved himself in the work of the gospel. Why fallible men like Timothy and Epaphroditus? Because they display a devotion to the Lord. They seek the true welfare of others. They are zealous and they are faithful. They are models of the Lord Jesus. I guess we honor them. And we receive them with joy because of their Christ-likeness. Having his mind and following his example. We honor them because they honor Christ. Remember, our honor of people is not so much the praise of men as it is the praise of God working through men for his glory. Paul says, honor men like this. How should we honor them? How should we honor people like that? Well, pray for them. We need to pray for all Christians, for all believers. But we need to pray for those who are honorable as well. We need to receive their ministry and respond to their ministry. We can help them. We are brothers and sisters of them. Be a brother and a sister. Be a fellow worker, a fellow soldier for the cause of Christ. When we look at them, we can remember the Lord Jesus Christ and we can praise him for the power of the gospel. We have so many bad examples. Let us look at good examples. Let them inspire us to Christ-likeness and faithful service to God. In that sense, we follow the examples. And be disciples of such people. As the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We can't think of such people without wondering about what Paul or God would have said about us. What would he? What would God say about you and me? Are we honorable? What about Horizon Church? Is Horizon Church a church that seeks the things of Christ more than its own? What about you? What about your personal life, your family life, your church life, your public life? Are you honorable to Christ in all of these areas of your life? Can I ask you a question? We're almost done. What is it that you honor? Who or what do you honor? If you had to think of you for yourself honestly and sincerely, who do you honor? People typically honor people with great skills and abilities or great giftedness. Maybe honoring people who are beautiful in appearance or someone who is leading a cause that you agree with. Or perhaps honoring highly functional individuals. The question, however, is how much do you and I value and honor Christ-likeness? How much do we honor Christ himself? This world has never seen anyone like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God incarnate. He came to this world and he concealed his own glory which he had in heaven. Why did he do that? So that he could take the form of a servant. And in becoming a servant, he became a ransom for guilty sinners like us. He came and he lifted the curse of sin. and he broke the power of death freely for everyone who trusts in him. And after he begins a good work that the Bible calls salvation, he transforms his children in changing from people who are self-seeking and selfless, or selfish rather, to become selfless followers just like him. Those who believe in God. Those who don't lord it over other people, but serve them as servants like Jesus Christ himself did. And then God exalted Christ into the place of highest authority, into heaven. And one day they will be exalted because he is exalted and called honorable in the sight of God. That is what Christ has done for us. So we should value Christ's likeness. Why don't we pray and ask God to show us in which ways we can become more honorable and more Christ-like, serving his interests.